Welcome to Fluence Sucks. Here we discuss the dark side of freelancing about which nobody usually talks out loud. In this show, we speak with experienced freelancers, and I'm sure listening to their stories helps you prepare for freelancers' challenges. My name is Yuri. I'm a community builder at Code Control and nanium.works, and my guest is Sarah Duran, a solopreneur with 7+ years of experience, founder of Fruition Initiatives, online business coaching, who developed structures and frameworks that helped take control of her work, words, and wisdom, and then perfected them by working with freelancers, consultants, and solopreneurs from all over the world. So welcome, Sarah.
Thanks so much for having me.
Finally, and the easiest question, what is the most challenging part of being a freelancer for you?
I feel like in my freelance journey, so I sort of wear two hats. My business has two sides. I run a consulting side of my business, which I've been doing for almost a decade now, where I work directly with clients. I do project management, business development, all that kind of stuff. And then I also run a side of my business where I have a podcast. I run a coaching program. I help other freelancers. And I feel like both of those sides have different challenges. I would say that on the consulting side of my business, the biggest challenge is staying in my lane. So being a fractional piece of a team, I often get into a place where I'm looking at working with an organization or within a larger project where so many other things are broken, where like the tiny piece of the puzzle that I have been hired to solve is not actually going to have the impact that I wanted to have. And over my career, I've gotten into places where I start trying to solve all of their problems instead of focusing on the thing that I'm supposed to be there to do. It is causing me to get sucked into contracts that like were not a great fit for me. And so that I think would be my biggest challenge on the consulting side. On the coaching and content side of my business, I think the biggest challenge is just, finding the right people. I am on a mission to find people who are ideologically aligned with me in terms of wanting to get the most out of their work, to build a business that serves their life. And being able to communicate that value for people and make sure that I'm finding people that are going to be the right fit for me from both sides, that I'm going to be able to help them, that they're going to be the right fit for the other people in my community is always an ongoing challenge.
So I have two follow-up questions. First, related to your first part. So how do you deal with it? How do you stop yourself? How do you focus on exactly the part that you have to solve? Not going for, you know, for fixing everything.
I mean, in some instances, I just had to leave. I just had to recognize that the client was too broken, that what I was going to do wasn't going to have the impact that it needed, and that I wasn't the person to solve their problem. Something I tell my coaching clients a lot is that you cannot want success more than your clients want it for themselves. And so we can get into positions a lot of times where we are like, oh, but if we did it this way, or if we fixed this thing, or if we were clear on the goals, or if we had more of a plan, and go down roads of doing all those things, sometimes without getting paid for them, right? Sometimes when we're like, it's a scope creep situation. We're like, oh, but if I only did this, then they would have more success. And they don't do anything with it. Or that amazing thing that you made just like sits on a shelf. It never gets used. And even though you got paid really well for it, it's frustrating. Yeah. And so I think recognizing when you want success for your clients more than they want it for themselves is a big one. Sometimes that means firing clients and walking away. Sometimes that means redefining scopes. It always means that the next contract I go into, I am much more clear about the red flags, about the boundaries, and about the ways that I structure my engagements with people from all the lessons that I've learned so far.
No, it sounds like it's not you, it's me. Oh, however, it's you. So
But I would say that it is also me, in that that's the journey, is learning how to establish yourself as an authority with your clients and not say yes to everything. So it is also, I think, on the freelancer to be able to recognize those red flags and flags and walk away if you need to.
And to the second part of a question. So how do you find those people who to go through your coaching journey with?
So there's a variety of ways that I find people. I actually find that the best people who are consistently the right fit and are very aligned come from referrals. Mm-hmm. So people that work with me, once we start working together, we know that, you know, it's the right fit. And they then know by working with me and being a part of my community that there are other people in their freelance journey that might also benefit from it. So I would say that's the, by far, the best coaching clients that I've, or not necessarily the best, but just like the easiest to find alignment with right away are the ones that come from referrals. The other ways I do that is I find people who are, I try to be very clear about my point of view, who I am, what I stand for, how I help freelancers on this ongoing journey of ours. Whether it's on my podcast or on LinkedIn or in workshops that I run, because I feel that when people can see your most authentic self, then they recognize when that fit is there. Or when that fit isn't there. So I think just trying to be my most authentic self out in the world is the other way to do it.
What is the most time consuming thing you must deal with as a freelancer or a solopreneur, except for work itself?
I would say design. I am constantly in a place of redesigning my business. Always, every day. Every day, which is the catch 22. That is also the thing that I love the most. Like, if that wasn't there, it wouldn't be worth it. Like, it wouldn't be fulfilling. It wouldn't be exciting. It wouldn't give me what I need. But it's definitely the most time consuming thing. And it is the thing that if I were to delegate everything else, that's the one thing I would hold on to, is the design. I love being able to design new businesses, new experiences, new workshops, new content, like all that kind of stuff. But it takes a lot. It takes a lot of time and energy to do it right.
And tell me a little bit more. What do you mean by redesigning your business?
I mean, so definitely for both sides of my business, quite frankly, like, I've gone through a journey on the consulting side of my business where I went from more of like a straight project manager to more of a fractional COO type of role with a lot of my clients, and rethinking what those engagements looked like. Again, recognizing, like, from all of my experience, like, what works, what doesn't work, where am I having the highest impact for these people? Constantly redesigning the way I engage with my clients on that side of my business. Mm-hmm. And on the coaching side of my business, it's always thinking about how I am getting closer and closer to that, like, authenticity piece. And so, like, getting closer to, like, what is the message? What is the problem that we're solving together? How are we helping each other reach our highest potential? That, I think, is an ongoing question, and there's a lot of ways to go about that, whether it's a coaching program, a podcast, a blog, an event. There's lots of ways to sort of get at a problem and sort of figuring out the highest leverage ways, and then how you talk about it, and how you actually design the experience so people are really recognizing the unique value in it.
Do you have a mentor or some kind of peer support group?
Yeah, so I have my own coach. So I've been getting coached myself on all of these things. And it is also similar to the way I run my program. It is a community. So it is a group of people that that support each other.
Got it. What is the most nerve-wracking thing you must deal with as a freelancer?
I would say money, which is also connected to client satisfaction. So even though I've gotten to a place in my business where I'm definitely making more money than I ever thought I would make in my entire life, and the way that my consulting contracts are structured, I have guaranteed income out over multiple years. The word guaranteed is a tricky word. I have contractually obligated income. But things change. And I think even in the place that I'm at, I still wake up in the middle of the night and I'm like, what if that contract went away? What if that client doesn't come through? What if I spend a bunch of money on this thing and it doesn't do anything? And so I still operate in, like, I think it's always hard for us to get out of like a feast famine type of mindset. And I still, even to this day, even the things that I coach my people on all the time, I still find myself when people reach out for projects where I'm like, do I want to do that? Is that a good fit? And I'll find myself being like, maybe I'm just going to have that conversation. I have to be like, no, it's not what you want to do. You told yourself you weren't going to do that thing anymore. Stop doing that thing. So yeah, I would definitely say money, but like I said, that's also related to client satisfaction. Like, I think I also stay awake at night making sure that my clients are getting what they need, whether it's my coaching clients or my consulting clients. If I am like, oh, like I should have been doing, like I could have been thinking differently about this thing, or like maybe I should have structured that thing this way in order for them to get more out of it. So client satisfaction is for sure connected to all of it.
You know, it looks like you are having a lot of those Angel Sarah, Devil Sarah conversations.
Yes, yes, definitely. Definitely. I coach. That's like the tricky part about being a coach, right? Is that like, you know, it's like you're, the analogy is like you're the pieces of your brain that are the elephant and the rider of the elephant. And it's like, I know the right, quote unquote, right thing to do. I know how I would coach someone else out of it, but it doesn't mean I don't fall into those same mindset traps that everyone else does.
Yeah, totally. And if your friend wanted to become a freelancer, what are top three things you'd advise them to consider before doing it?
I would ask them why they want to become a freelancer, because I think the motivation is really important. If you're just in it for the money, you're not going to survive. Doing it for the money, being motivated by just money is not enough. Don't get me wrong, I love money. I want everyone to have lots of money. But it's not enough because it's hard, and you have to be like, you have to want it for the freedom. You can't want it for the money, or you won't survive. The other thing I would say is connected to the why, like what they want their life to look like, because that is how they should be designing their business. So if they are like, hey, I need to make $100,000 next year, I would design their business very differently than if they're like, I am mission driven and only want to work 10 hours a week. Yeah. Those are two completely different businesses. I would coach them completely differently on how we design that business based on what they want to get out of it. And then I would say, once we get to a place where they're like, decide sort of what they want to do, I would say, go have conversations with as many people as you can who do that thing.
And then you can understand what is your journey might look like. But also, I feel like you have to kind of listen to people, but then go and do your own mistakes.
Totally. Yep.
You know, Sarah, I wish to have the sky is a limit, but time is a limit to our conversation. So the final question, if you were starting freelancing today, what is one thing you would have done differently?
Oh, that's such a good question. I think I probably would have, and this is going to sound like a leading answer because of what I do, but I promise this is actually the truth. I would have hired a coach sooner. I think that I went through a lot of, especially on the content and coaching and podcast side of my business, I went through a lot of trial and error, trying to DIY things, trying to figure out things on my own. Same on the consulting side. And if I had invested in myself and my business earlier, And recognize that I couldn't do it alone and that I needed support and able in order to do it, I would have met my goals faster and I would have wasted less money on things that were not going to work.
It's like, it sounds like hiring a freelancer, because freelancers are committed to do the project and to do it as fast as possible, get their money and go out. So basically it's like they're helping you. So you're like overcoming all those things and then you're, yeah, striving. Exactly. Sarah, thank you very much for sharing your experience and for having such an open conversation.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
And thank you so much for listening. If you like the show, hit the like button or 5 stars and share it with your friends. That's it. We're done. See you in the next episode.